saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain.
Neither this mountain Gerizim in Samaria. Go ahead.
Nor yet at Jerusalem.
Nor yet at Jerusalem.
Worship the Father.
Worship the Father. Go ahead.
Ye worship, ye know
not. So remember we read this earlier. Amos was talking about the same thing. Well, Zion and Samaria would be wiped out. Christ is saying the same exact thing in verse 21. Read it again.
Verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh.
So the hour he's talking about is 70 AD. Go ahead.
When ye shall neither in this mountain.
In Samaria.
Nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father.
Ain't nobody going to be worshiping in Jerusalem or Samaria. Go ahead. Because it's 70 AD. Go ahead.
Ye worship, ye know not what.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Salvation is of Judah. Go ahead.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
In spirit and in truth. Go ahead.
For the Father seeketh.
Why is he saying that? Because the temple was going to be destroyed soon. Go ahead.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Come on.
The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ.
Uh-oh, then Messiah, Christ, means anointed. Go ahead.
One
is Hebrew, Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek, means anointed. Go ahead.
When he is come, he will tell us all things.
The Messiah is going to come. He's going to tell us everything. Watch the next verse.
Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Now, if she wasn't an Israelite, why would he reveal himself that he's the Messiah? That you've been, yeah. That Jesus would come. He's revealing himself to her. Go ahead.
And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou?
Why they marvel? Because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. We did not talk to them. But Christ is talking to her. So they marvel. They're like, "What? Why is he talking to the Samaritan?" Okay. From there, go jump to verse 39.
Verse 39.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him.
Believed on Christ.
For the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did.
Go ahead.
So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days.
If they were an Israelites, why would he stay there and teach them for 2 days? It makes no sense. Go ahead.
And many more believed because of his own word.
Come on.
And said unto the woman, Now we believe.
Now we believe.
Not because of thy saying.
Not because you told us he's the Messiah.
For we have heard him ourselves.
We heard him ourselves. Go ahead.
And now that this
and
is. And
know
that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
The Savior of the world of Israel. Give me Acts 10 and 1. Acts 10. So now Christ went to the Samaritan. Remember in Matthew 10, he said, don't go to them. Meaning, don't go to them yet. There was time. Judah had to get it first, right? Everybody had it. Now watch this. Acts 11, 19 before we get Acts 10.
Acts.
Can you wait, please?
Yes, sir.
Let me look. Acts 11, 19. Yep.
Acts chapter 11 and verse 19.
Bring it
now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch.
Pay attention, here it comes.
Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only.
Which goes back to Matthew 10, 5 and 6. So they were still keeping it. Let's deal with the kingdom of Judah only. Don't deal with them other Israelites. Everybody got that, right? Acts 10,
Acts,
the chapter before it.
Chapter 10 and verse 1.
Let's go.
Yes.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band.
So write this down. Caesarea is in the land of Israel. It is in the land of Manasseh, which is what the west? West Manasseh. Okay, right beside Samaria. We got a map, IT? IT, you have a map? I want a map with Caesarea, type that word, in the land of Israel. Type that in. I just want to see what pop up. images, map. No, you got Caesar's Palace. Caesarea. In the land of Israel. Okay, right there. Click that. Come on, put it on the screen. All right, y'all see Caesarea, right? See Samaria right there? Everybody see that, right? This is where Cornelius comes from, all right? Give me, hold that, we're gonna hold right there. Hold that, let me look at something. Give me, go ahead, Aitan, you wanna say something?
Yeah, and Peter lives in Joppa there. He lives in the seaport there. He sailed up north to visit Cornelius there. So you see Joppa, that's where Peter was living. And Christ lived up the, pretty much up, further up Galilee, getting out, that's where Christ was raised. So he was raised around them in that area. Mm. So when he was teaching, Cornelius obviously got word of it also, or understanding of the word at that time also. Not at the time, but in that area.
All praise, all praise. Get Acts 21:16.
Acts chapter 21 and verse 16. There went with us also certain.
One more thing. You see that place there? Scythopolis, that means city of the Scythians. That's where Paul was teaching in the Colossians 3:11. That's the northern kingdom's land also. Scythians is northern kingdom also, where our people lived there. Scythopolis is a city of the Scythians. That was Israel too, living in that area. Mm. That's when Paul wrote to Scythians in Colossians 3:11. A lot of them were living here. They were placed here in that area there too.
Mm. All right. Where you at?
Acts chapter 21, verse 16. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea. And brought
this is the same place Cornelius is from. Go ahead.
And brought with them one minor son of Cyprus.
That's all I wanted. Just wanted to show you, you had the some disciples that came from Caesarea as well. Go back to Acts 10.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. A centurion of the band called the Italian band. Mm-hmm. A devout man.
How do you become a devout man? Acts 22:12. Write this down. People go, yeah, he's devout. He was another nation, but he was devout. No.
Acts chapter 22 and verse 12.
Come on!
And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law.
You see how you're a devout man according to the law? The other nation didn't have the law. Go ahead.
Having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there.
Let's go back. Acts 10 and 2 again.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. A devout man and one that feared God.
So he was a devout man according to the law. One that feared God. Go ahead.
With all his house.
With all his house.
Which gave much alms to the people. And prayed to God always.
And prayed to God always. Nobody, we're reading this and people go, well, I'm guilty of that too back in the day. We look at that and go, he's another nation. Then how was he a devout man according to the law? How did he fear God? How did he know how to pray to God? Okay? How did he know these things without him being a devout man according to the law? He had to know the law. Go ahead.
He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day.
So yes, Cornelius is an Israelite, northern kingdom. Go ahead.
An angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God.
So now the Lord's dealing with him. It's a memorial. Your prayers, your alms. Go ahead.
And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter.
That's what y'all, Deacon Ethan was showing y'all where Peter lived in Joppa. Go ahead.
He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa on the morrow.
as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour.
So this is noontime. Remember in Psalms 55 and 17, it says pray three times, in the evening, morning, and noon. So Peter went up at the sixth hour. This is the noonday prayer. Good.
And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open.
Now Bishop Kenai went into a great breakdown on this. Go ahead.
And a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth.
Hold that. Go to Hosea 8 and 8. Now, I'm not going to go to all the precepts, but if y'all, what's the name of Bishop Kenai's class? I forgot. Something Cornelius, if I'm not mistaken. Acts 10, it's called? IT, do y'all know Bishop Kenai did a class maybe 2 months ago? I just can't remember the name of the class. Bear with me a second. Let me see if Bishop can. Acts 10 Reloaded. That's what it's called. Acts 10 Reloaded. So if you get it, he goes really, really slow on it, and it's excellent. Okay? Where you going, Officer Nick?
Hosea.
Are you also a soldier?
Officer.
Officer Nick. Go ahead.
Hosea chapter 8 and verse 8.
So this goes with the certain vessel descending in the dream. Go ahead.
Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure.
Y'all see that? Now let's go back. Now, so read from Acts 10, 11 to 14. We're just going to read through.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 11. And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as there had been a great sheet knit at the four corners. And
Put it back, IT. Bishop Kenai's class. Yeah, that's it. This is the class here. Acts 10 Reloaded. Call No Man Common. Excellent, excellent class. All right? All right. Thank you, IT. Go ahead, officer.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 11. And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners.
IT, can you put it on the screen? They don't need to look at me all day. Go ahead.
And let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.
Go ahead.
And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou coming.
So what does God cleanse? Ezekiel 37, 23, please. Ezekiel 37, 23. What does God cleanse? What God has cleansed. Does he cleanse Esau? I never read that one. Read that.
Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things.
No, start at 21. Thank
verse
you.
21. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel.
Mm.
And one king shall be to them all.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall be no more two nations.
That goes back to what we've been reading. They shall no more be called two nations. Go ahead.
Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places.
Here it comes.
Wherein they have sinned.
And do what?
And will cleanse them.
And will cleanse them. Go ahead.
So shall they be my people, and I will be their God.
Y'all see that? So God says he's going to cleanse us, the 12 tribes. Go back and read Acts 10, 15.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 15.
Come on.
And the voice spake unto him again the second time. What God hath cleansed.
What God hath cleansed.
That call not thou coming.
Now jump to verse 28 where he explains. He breaks down the dream. Go ahead.
Verse 28. And he said unto them, Ye know how that is an unlawful thing
for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation.
Remember, we just read in Ezekiel 37:22, we shall no longer be two nations. Everybody remember that, right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
But God has showed me that I should not call any man.
Any man. It's not talking about roaches or ants or eating unclean pig. It's not talking about that. The dream was about man. Go ahead.
That I should not call any man common or unclean.
So the whole vision was about man. What man? The Israelites being cleansed. The Israelites being cleansed. Northern kingdom being cleansed.
Yeah.
Jump over to verse 31 and read down.
Verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Now this is what Christians get you. They'll read verse 34 and verse 35. Go ahead.
But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
Now, the next verse explains Cornelius. Go ahead.
The word which God sent unto the children of Israel.
Can I get a bomb? Thank you. Go ahead.
Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all.
So Acts 10 is telling you that this was for the children of Israel, but for some reason, because of supersessionism, what was the other word? Replacement theology. We go, God accepts everybody, not just the Israelites. See, this Cornelius was a white man. He's an Italian man. He's a Roman. Mm-hmm. That's replacement theology. That's supersessionism. Acts 13:45, please.
Acts chapter 13 and verse 45.
So now Acts 10 made it official. Remember what Christ did in John 4. Although Christ did it, he showed them, but the disciples never patterned themselves to go to Northern Kingdom. They left it alone. It wasn't until Acts 10 when God shows Peter that vision. Okay? Now we're in Acts 13, I said, 45
yes,
and 46.
Yes, sir. Acts chapter 13 and verse 45. Yeah. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you.
Stop. Zechariah 12 and 7 again.
Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 7.
Let's go.
The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah.
Let's go back to Acts 13.
Acts chapter 13 verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you.
So the reader has to stress first. You got to stress that word first have been spoken to you. You who? Jews, the kingdom of Judah. Go ahead.
And judging yourselves unworthy of utter.
No, but you skipped the line.
First,
read again.
Have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you.
Seeing you reject it. Go ahead.
And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles.
We're going to go teach the Gentiles now. Look at next verse.
For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
Oh, we forgot already. Matthew 4:15 again. We're just reiterating. God, y'all can put this stuff up so the class looks interesting. Just putting it over here.
Matthew.
Like anybody can see that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Matthew chapter 4 and verse 15.
Come on!
The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
Exactly. So, those Gentiles are Northern Kingdom. And so, yeah, go ahead, Asa.
Bishop, I wanted to add the same thing that Paul did when the Jews rejected him and he said he went to the Gentiles. The same thing Christ did when he walked the earth in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 1. Same thing that happened with Paul when the Jews was giving him a hard time. The Jews was giving Christ a hard time. So Christ changed his direction where he was going to minister. John 7 and 1.
John chapter 7 and verse 1.
Let's go.
After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry.
He wasn't walking with Southern Kingdom no more. Why?
Because the Jews sought to kill him.
And the bishop already showed you in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15, who was in Galilee? Zebulun and Naphtali. So y'all hold those precepts on deck. It's showing you the same thing Paul and Barnabas encountered with the Jews rejecting salvation in Jesus Christ. It's the same thing Christ had to deal with. The Jews wanted to kill him. They was like, you not no savior. You can't forgive sins. So he went to the Gentiles, Zebulun and Naphtali.
Mm-hmm. Give me the next book. IT, there's a book I gave you guys. I saw an interview with Captain O.C. It was a good interview with, I forgot this lady's name. And she had a Christian guy on there. What is it? Sandra, and the guy says, the Captain O.C., you guys only taught black Americans. But now you're saying, he said, back in the day, but now you're saying that the Hispanics, the Latinos, and those the Israelites. He said, what changed? Remember what we read in Zechariah 12 and 7. I will save who first?
Judah.
Judah would get the gospel first. It's always been. Give me that book. No, not that book, IT. Oh, I didn't send it to y'all? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought I sent it to y'all. Let me look. Say something clever. Go ahead. Somebody. Can somebody
That's
talk?
Why when y'all hear us teaching online, we always speak about context. You can't just assume because it says Gentiles, it means the other nations. And a lot of people like to do that. You understand? That's why I always go to the Zondervan Bible Dictionary where it says, usually it means a non-Israelite people, meaning it don't always mean that. There's times when you see the word Gentiles and it's referring to the Israelites in a Gentile state of mind because God cut them off from being his people in Hosea chapter 1.
Real quick, get Matthew 10 and 5 again. I'm going to show you something just to prove that the Gentiles here. Because they'll say, see, it says Gentiles, that's different nations. So 10, 5 to 6, read that.
Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5.
Come on!
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not.
That's the same thing. Read verse 6.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
So some will tell you that verse 5 is heathens, and then 6 is Israelites. Obadiah 18. I'm going to show you Samaritans, Gentiles, and then Israel at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Obadiah, verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall...
House of Jacob is the house of Israel. That's in Matthew 10 and 6. Go ahead.
Shall be a fire. And the house of Joseph...
Stop. And the what?
And the house of Joseph...
That's Samaritans and Gentiles in Matthew 10 and 5. You understand? So you got Israel... Southern Kingdom called the House of Jacob or House of Israel. But it's not the whole all 12 in Obadiah. The House of Jacob in verse 18 is Judah alone, Southern Kingdom. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and the House of Joseph is Ephraim and his fellows, the rest. So Matthew Christ says the exact same thing. Don't go into Samaritans or Gentiles, that's House of Joseph, but rather to the lost sheep or the House of Jacob or House of Israel, which is Southern Kingdom.
All right? IT, you got the picture I just sent? Put that picture, the last picture, that one. So this was back in the late, early 80s. Early 80s. That's, can you zoom in on the left? Zoom in on the left? Yeah, right there. That's Ariel with gray on the black. Yeah, that's him right there. And look at the 12 tribe sign. Okay. That's how it was. You guys see that? Yeah, give it up. Okay, and prior to this, everybody get mad at the 12 tribe sign. They were primarily just teaching the kingdom of Judah, just Judah, period. Then Ariah, the Most High showed Ariah about the other tribes. Give me the book now. Yeah, read that.
The Lost Tribes, a Myth by Alan H.
Suggestions towards rewriting Hebrew history.
Suggestions towards rewriting Hebrew history by Alan H. Godby, Ph.D.
Mm-hmm. When was this written?
In 1930.
Duke University. Let's read the highlighted sections.
These facts have a peculiar significance when the presence of Judaism among American Negroes is to be considered. Hundreds of thousands of slaves were brought to America from this Western Africa during the days of the traffic, beginning nearly 400 years ago. How much more of Judaism survived amongst West African Negroes in that earlier time? As persecuted communities, they were rather more in danger than other Negroes of being raided by war parties and sold as slaves. It may be considered certain that many partially Judaized Negroes were among the slaves brought to America.
You see that? Go ahead.
On the Cabinda coast in Portuguese, West Africa is an interesting group of Negro Jews known as Mamvumba. They are skillful smiths and potters and consequently prosper. Ratzel considers them connected with a colony of Jews expelled from Portugal and settled on San Tome Island. The Portuguese discovered San Tome in 1471. Finding it very unhealthy, King John II of Portugal in 1484 offered the Jews of his dominion the pleasant alternative of submitting to baptism or settling at San Tome.
The Roman Catholic Church brought back that water baptism stuff. They said you have to get water, and you got a lot. Some Israelites pushing the same thing. The water got power in it. Give me the next page. You know, I got baptized 7 times. That was wicked as hell. The hell is this?
Thus, Bishop Matthew claims an immemorial Jewish ancestry. But since that ancestry is Negro, it follows that Negroes were the original Jews.
That's right. Jump down.
This is a development from Bishop Matthew's congregation. It has received no help from the white Jews and observes that the white Jews papers call them fakers. But my friends, we are not fakers. Every black man is a real Hebrew, whether he knows it or not.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
We as a race do not know who we are. Thus, discriminations are always repaid in their own coin. Compare Winwood Reed's reports of Sierra Leone Negro preacher's sermon some 70 years ago.
Right. That was it. That's all I want to thank you for that. Yes.
Bishop, before you move on, AIT, I put an image online from Abe's bookstore. How much that book costs? Could you put it up so the audience could see it? Because it's a rare book.
Shit.
Why would they put that book for $7,000?
Mm-hmm.
They know no black person ain't going to spend 7 G's on that book.
Right.
Yep. And on top of that, when Bishop sat down with Sam Kestenbaum, he explained to Bishop that he works for a group of scholars. And when Bishop had the book on the table closed, he said, wow, you have that book? That's a rare book. How'd you come across that book? Mm-hmm. Without even knowing seeing the cover. He knew what book it was. So yep. Listen, y'all know what you're dealing with. Y'all don't know what you're dealing with. We know what we're talking about. Y'all don't know what you're talking about.
That's a white folk book.
That's right.
Black
That's
people
right.
don't care about that.
Yeah.
The greatest fear is seeing that you are here. So they sit down and they're like, look, don't put that price where any black person could pick it up and buy it and read this information. Because in 19,